If you can wade into the political arena and make it out unscathed, you must be doing something right. Brian Burke is your host for Kitchener Today on City News 570.
Afternoon, welcome to Kitchener Today. Oh, it's the Friday edition. It's the most wonderful day of the week. Yes, it is, because it's all up to you. And you and you and you and you and you. From 2 to 3, we depend on you to bring entertainment to the masses, or information to the masses, or whatever you want. I don't stick it in little silos. You don't have to rant. You don't have to rave. You can just be whatever you want to be. It's the ultimate freedom. That's from 2 to 3, or slightly before, because usually the festivities begin slightly earlier. And since we are now officially into the holiday season, yes, there shall be festivities. Before that, well, we're going to do a little talking about dogs. Kitchener, the center of the universe when it comes to dogs these days. By now, you're aware of it. James Riott from the Restaurants Canada organization. Crisis Management in Restaurants. Well, that should be informative, given what's been going on for the last 24 hours here in the region of Waterloo. Also, David Lepofsky will join us, chair of the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act Alliance. A very, very difficult title to squeeze out. And David will join us just after 1 o'clock this afternoon to talk about the issues of service dogs, guide dogs, therapy dogs, all those things just
that,
after 1.
That guy must have a huge business card.
It's enormous. And just after 1:30 p.m., Terry Polavoy is a retired doctor and was south of the border. PCR test coming back, not as easy as you might think. Talk to Terry just after 1:30 this afternoon. Then, of course, it is Free Phones Friday, when all heck will break loose. All of that's coming up, but first. It's November the 12th, so now we can start looking at things that have happened perhaps on this day on history or in history, or we can start looking at things that are being celebrated. And in this case, we're celebrating this.
Animal crackers in my soup, monkeys and rabbits loop the loop. Gosh, oh gee, but I have fun swallowing animals one by one.
Okay, we're not swallowing animals here. It is I forgot about that part of the song. Anne, what's wrong with you? Anne Marie. Human-Animal Relationship Week.
Okay, so okay. Am I supposed to pet my cat?
I don't know. Is your cat pettable, Polly?
Of course.
Well, not all cats are.
Really?
No.
Well, my one cat is, and my other one is, well, she likes being petted. She doesn't like being held.
Does she like being petted only on her schedule, though?
No, I think whenever.
Yeah, because we have a cat that only likes to be petted on a schedule. Brittany,
oh, really?
You have 42 cats. Mm-hmm. What about them?
Yeah, all but one are pretty friendly.
Are they cuddly?
All but one.
Oh, okay. So you only have the one, but she's very selective about her cuddly.
Mm.
So only with the other person.
My cats, they could not care less about Jacob. He's just kind of there to them. They sleep on my side of the bed. They hang out with me. The one cat, though, he's really timid around people, especially like even me. And I've had him for a long time now, but he came from like a really bad home. So he's not a fan of being like, it has to be, he'll very rarely let you pet him, and absolutely not. Do not even try to pick him up. You will not have skin left because the claws come out. It's not a good time.
Why does one have a cat like that?
Well, okay.
Like, it's not really providing companionship, is it?
Back when I was a TV journalist, I did a story on the Humane Society, and there was this cat, and I felt like I could save him. I could make him love me. I would try to hold him and make him love me, and he said, heck no.
This is the same thing Brittany does to me every day. She comes in, I can save him. I can hold, and she tries to hug me. It's exactly the same. You're a saver. That's what you are. I finally figured that out. Our cat's very cuddly with my wife, and she, for some perverted reason, sleeps on my feet. No matter how many times I try to launch that cat into the stratosphere in the middle of the night,
Maybe that's like her slow way of saying she likes you.
No, it's her slow way of saying, I will kill you at some point. And then the other thing she does is she climbs up on my wife's neck at night when my wife goes to bed. So guess which part of it?
She's plotting your wife's death.
Hopefully. But,
oh my goodness.
But then the worst part of the cat is now in my face.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. You know what, though? Watch out about your cat sleeping by your feet, because I think Polly told me a story not that long ago about your cat sleeping at your feet, and didn't some claws end up like in your leg or something?
Oh, yeah, that did happen to me. It was probably about a year ago now. I think there was I think the cats had a big fight on the bed in the middle of the night. And my arm or leg or whatever was a culprit in that
nice.
In that fight. Big claw
that's
mark.
Good. Why do we have them? I don't dislike cats.
And our cats cute and fluffy.
Our cat's fully armed. Like it has everything.
Mm-hmm.
But every now and then I walk by and she sits in her giant cat tower.
Yeah.
And she'll just swipe at me.
Yeah.
For no reason. She does it to the dog too.
That's right. It was my now that I remember it was my toe. I was limping for 3 days. It was a pretty deep gash in my one toe. It really was.
Human animal relationship week is going really well so far. The dog's relationship is entirely different, right? Because
Oh yeah.
The difference between dogs and cats is cats remember everything. Dogs have no short-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Yeah, and I find that cats kind of have like a weird fluctuating mood, whereas like bear's got one mood.
Yeah.
And it's happy.
Exactly.
And that's it.
That's the only mood they ever have. I come home, dog says, oh, who are you? Oh, we've met. Right. That's exactly what goes through her little walnut-sized brain. Same thing every morning. Okay, I'm up. Why am I up? Oh, I know. I need to go out. That's it.
Yeah.
Just no short-term memory. They're all lovable in their own way. Go.
All right, Brian, as you know, I rushed out of here at 11:30 today.
Oh, my God, you wouldn't stop talking about it. It was 2 hours of this painfulness. Oh, goodness.
You know, I rushed out of here at 11:30 because I had to go to Starbucks, something I don't actually ever do. But today was a special day.
Why is today a special day at Starbucks?
Today,
are the coffees $9 instead of
$6? Well, no, still $6. So I don't typically go to Starbucks. I find it too expensive, and personally, I'm just a black coffee drinker. But we were talking about celebrity collaborations earlier this week.
Tim Biebs!
Tim okay. Biebs!
I can't wait until those Bieber, what are they called? Timbits?
No, I just want to
Tim
stab
Biebs.
Myself.
Today, Starbucks launched their latte with Taylor Swift. She has teamed up to launch the Taylor's Latte.
So do you drink it and feel angry about any man ever in your life? Is that what a Taylor Swift
maybe,
latte is?
Maybe. It's literally just a grande latte with caramel syrup, and that's it.
And how much is it?
I'm not entirely sure because I bought a drink for me and the Sea Boss.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, probably around the $30 mark if I had to hazard a guess.
Oh, you bought that just for Taylor Swift?
Well, I wanted to try it. We're trying celebrity collaborations. I'm sure at the end of the month, we're going to go get the Tim Biebs. So.
Hold on a second. Did you say you bought a coffee for the boss, C-Boss?
Well, I said, can I go get a coffee? Would you like one? I'm not going to say I'm going to get a coffee here. I even offered Brian one when I was going out the door.
You offered Brian one. This is getting to my point here. There's one more member of this team that was not asked whether or not they want a coffee.
Might have been the day, right?
Yeah.
Could have been the day.
Actually, it probably would have been the day.
Why didn't you?
Oh, Polly,
it really would have been
don't
the
guilt
day.
Trip me.
Why didn't you ask?
I don't know. It was just, I looked at the time and I knew we had to be on in a half hour.
But you wouldn't
and it takes
give
a half
up?
Hour just you to make a drink there.
You wouldn't want to give up that 15 seconds. Wait, then it would take.
You offered Brian
Polly.
A coffee. You offered C-Boss a coffee,
Polly.
But not me.
Not Polly.
I'm sorry.
I thought we were friends.
That's all you can do. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, you offered up someone can't do 30 minutes on air. I can do it.
Okay.
I've been public speaking for 25 years, 45 countries. Yeah, bring it on.
What would you talk about?
I'll, talk about whatever you want. Well,
no, it's not whatever I want. You want to talk about things that the audience is interested in.
Your challenge was no one could do 30 minutes.
I don't think that's what I said.
You did. If you replay the tape from yesterday.
Yesterday, what did I say? That it's difficult to do 30 minutes?
Yes.
Ah, that's not saying no one can do 30 minutes.
Oh, I can jibber jabber for hours.
I know, but again, it's not just 30 minutes. You know, look, nobody can be interesting for 30 minutes. Nobody.
Oh, I can.
No, you shouldn't be, for one thing. If it takes you that long to be interesting, break it into two. Then you have two interesting talks. Right?
Well, hey,
brevity is the soul of wit. Is that not the quote?
Hey, you threw out the challenge. I answered the call.
All right, Chris, we're going to put you on the list. And because one day, mm-hmm. Brittany Bordelon.
Yep.
And I'm an ex-employee of the Rogers Red Machine, and I work in the cybersecurity team.
So then we shouldn't give you the mic.
Chris, we're going to take that under advisement. I promise, because I really want to do this bit, mm-hmm. which I've never mentioned before, that I'd like to get six people on.
At the same time?
No, you can do the interview. You can do the whole half hour mm-hmm. for each of the topics.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
I was producing the show yesterday. When did this happen?
I don't know.
I don't recall that either.
There's a lot of things that are said because I don't have any notes. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea. Yeah, but maybe I did. I'm sure I have said that at some point.
I don't remember this at all.
No, neither do I. Bill, go ahead.
Is this Free for All Thursday?
No, it's Friday. But
and it's not 2 p.m., though.
But the phones are always open, so I don't place parameters on things, Bill.
Oh, I don't think I'll be able to get a hold of you guys. I just tuned in here, and I didn't catch what you guys were chatting about, but I didn't want to miss out on this opportunity. I'm trying to find the best liver and onions and home-cooked meals in Kitchener.
Oh, the best liver and onions? That's
in
easy.
Kitchener.
In any garbage can, that's where you'll find the best liver and onions.
Hold on a second.
Anything someone tells you it's good for you doesn't need to be eaten for pleasure.
Oh, okay, a hot turkey sandwich then. Something, because I can't find one. You know, I went someplace, I won't say it, and I swear I was like eating rubber chicken and it was canned gravy. There's got to be... Dude, you guys are from this area, right?
Yeah, well, sort of, yeah. I've been here long enough.
What's the best place for home-cooked hot turkey or hot chicken, you know, like the real deal, like you're eating at your mom's house or something. Because I can't find it. I've been here 8 years. I can't find it.
My goodness, that's a quandary. I can't off the top. I don't go out and order a whole lot of hot turkey sandwiches.
Well, that's because you're married and you probably got it made at home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
What's the point of being married otherwise? Oh, that's terrible. What's wrong with me? A horrible thing to say.
You said... You wish the cat would take her out, and then you said,
I also said that
there's no point in being married unless she's cooking for you.
That's true.
Today is great.
Bill, we're going to find out. Trust me. Stay with us, and we will.
I'll be listening.
The best hot turkey sandwich, is that what we're looking for?
It seemed to be hot turkey or hot chicken.
Okay.
Swiss chalet.
And then it also liver and onions, too.
He abandoned the liberal onions. That's even worse. I'm going to make up some things about that. He abandoned the liver and onions, I think, went for the hot turkey. So, I don't know. We'll find out. Mm-hmm. That's what the listenership is for.
Yeah.
They're here to tell us what the best things are. We got to do this. But it's happy hour, drinking double shooters, buying whiskey sours for a pack of cougars. I know I should be sadder, but it all seems silly, because my good buddy Waylon hooked me up with some. You know, it's weird. Country song with an alcohol reference. That's very unusual. I don't want to lose wherever we're going with this. Jason, go ahead.
Anime's, Brian.
Anime's.
Anime's has the best chicken ever. I agree.
Roasted chicken. You know, just don't get the fries because they're those coated fries. But
no, I like the fries at Anime's.
You must like them from Costco, too, then.
Ow. Ow. Jason,
Anime's.
That is a great suggestion. Anime's. It's in Milverton, isn't it? Isn't Anime's in Milverton? I think so. Terry, go ahead.
Hey, Brian. Yeah, I wasn't going to talk about this, but the guy that just called before I did, the little place up there in Wellesley, they have some old home-cooked meals, and the one up in Elmira there, is it Crossroads?
No, the Crossroads is no longer around.
They never. It's no longer around.
No, they didn't survive the pandemic.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, listen, you know, on one of the XM's Sirius satellite stations, they're doing an ABBA promotion, 24 hours promotional music, because they have this new album in 40 years.
Fabulous.
You know what, Brian? You should play Fernando on your acoustic guitar. That would sound beautiful.
Fernando.
Can you do that?
That's
probably one of the... Well, that's a great
I can do that. I can't I can't sing in Swedish, so that's a barrier.
Actually, now that you say that, there are actually a lot of songs that they're playing in different languages. Like, there's one they did Gimme, Gimme, Gimme in French, and then one other one they did in Spanish, so that was kind of unique. But,
I like that.
It's great that they have that variety of languages that they can sing in. But, yeah, I thought when I was listening to that, I thought, yeah, that'd be a great tune for Brian Dew on his guitar there, Fernando. That'd be a classic.
All right, I got something to practice over the weekend. Thanks, Terry. Look at Paulie going after it already. God, I love that. Greg, go ahead.
Well, I won't keep you long. Best home-cooked hot hamburger, hot turkey, clubhouse sandwiches. Checkerboard Restaurant, Belmont Village.
Checkerboard. I haven't been there. I haven't been there in years.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty good. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. See, we're helping out a listener that way. Uh-oh, I have fingers being raised at me.
I just got an email about the liver and onions.
Okay.
So our friend Willie Allen says the best one, the best liver and onions is Angel's Diner. I don't know. I'm not a liver and onions person myself, but says it is. So.
It could well be very good, but it's still liver and onions, isn't it? One of those things that your mother put in front of you as a child, and then when you looked at it and raised one eyebrow, it's good for you. That's right there. That's the phrase. It's good for you. And, well, still, I don't want to eat it. It's a liver. Sorry, don't eat kidney either, by the way, or heart, or any of those other organs. I'm not interested in eating organs. Not this guy. People all of a sudden, well, here's another one. Best liver and onions, the Old Country Restaurant in New Hamburg. I don't even know where that is. I have no idea. I'd say Paul, of course, old Paul says he can do 30 minutes on the radio easily. I don't doubt that. Ken sends an email as well. Cat's only purpose in life is to irritate people with cat allergies. Well, yeah, there's a lot of people with that. I think I have a slight allergy to cats.
Listen, some people, I don't even believe them when they say they're allergic to cats, because I have one friend who said she's only allergic to orange cats.
Oh, yeah, that's quite
How
common.
How do your allergies know?
Very common.
Do you think cats are allergic to humans?
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised if now and then a cat's allergic to a human. Paul, go ahead.
Yes. First of all, the best rolled ribs that you could ever have again are at the Town and Country on Albert Street. And why? Because the descendants that run that place are the descendants of the people that cooked at the Breslau Hotel.
Ah, okay. Haven't had rolled ribs in a long time either.
Rolled ribs are absolutely... Don't order any extras, because you'll be stuffed with just the meal.
All right. Thanks, Paul. You ever had rolled ribs, Brittany?
I don't even know what that is.
They used to call it like it's a Waterloo County staple.
Yeah.
Right? You could what was it, though? Was it the Blue Moon or the Heidelberg?
I know. Kennedy's was always advertising.
Kennedy's
there.
Did it for a long time, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Blue Moon and the Heidelberg did it, and the Blue Moon's gone, of course. So, yeah, rolled ribs. Had them a couple of times. I prefer just the ribs, because they put stuffing in the middle. So, and I'm a special occasion stuffing person. Rolled ribs were not that special occasion. The point was, it's International Happy Hour Day.
Ooh!
Yeah, but we're not very good at happy hour in Ontario, because they put a whole bunch of rules in place in Ontario about what could be a happy hour. For one thing, you can't really offer discounted liquor.
I've been asking the boss around here to offer to let us have a happy hour on Fridays.
That's a good idea. Yeah, 11 to 12.
He says no.
No, of course he says no. It's because one of the things that happens when you go to management is they take out your fun organ. That's it. You can't be any fun anymore. That's true. It's the way it works. I've been there. Trust me. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570. There was something in the air that night. The stars were bright. Fernando. I'd have to look at this. I don't know how it translates on a single guitar. Don't get a lot of ABBA requests. Don't get any requests at all, to be honest. Paul, go ahead.
How you doing?
Good.
No, not good. Great.
Okay.
Now, first off, I got to go with you on the liver and onion things. That's just horrible.
Yeah.
But my wife always used to love Gulfview.
Gulfview.
For the liver and onions.
Gulfview.
And we had friends that would come in from Brantford.
You mean Gulfview or Gulfs?
Gulfview.
Gulfview, okay. Thank you.
It's almost across from the Cambridge Memorial Hospital. Yeah. I think that's where you have to go after you eat liver and onions, isn't it?
Yeah, usually. Just go straight into a merge.
Now, somebody mentioned hot turkey sandwiches. Once again, toasters at King and or at Eagle and Concession.
In
the great city of Preston.
Of course.
Okay.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. You know, we could cover more of that ground just after 1:45 this afternoon. I find it always interesting. Where can you find the best this, that, or the other thing? And everybody's opinion is different. I do know the one restaurant that won't be mentioned. This is Kitchen Today on Sydney News 570. It's everybody's worst nightmare these days, especially if you run a business. It used to be that Mike Wallace had just showed up in your office, but that's a reference that some people in this generation won't get. But in this day and age, getting roasted on social media is no fun, and we saw a significant amount of roasting yesterday for Milton's restaurant in Kitchener and the release of that video of an altercation on site, and it made me kind of think about crisis management in that industry. James Rylett is Restaurants Canada Vice President for Central Canada, joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon, James.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
That I know you're aware of this story, and that is, let's go a little bit beyond of what's happened here and say that is really kind of a worst nightmare for any hospitality industry, right?
It is. It's, it's a situation that could have been avoided and wasn't, and don't really want to say too much about that, but in general, in our industry, it's a stressful times, especially in the pandemic, and people need to know how to defuse situations.
Yeah, and beyond that situation, James, because that is a part of it, obviously. But those situations have certainly come up in the past, long before social media. But what happens here today is, of course, all of a sudden it's the bombing of Google reviews. It's everything that happens on Facebook and on Twitter. I don't know. How much does the industry look at that and go, we need to have some kind of plan?
Most operators do look at it and have a plan. They spend a lot of time training their staff, and they in their business plans, they look at public relations and media relations, and they're trying to adjust for things like that. Unfortunately, once it gets into the ether of the internet, and once it gets on the websites that rate restaurants, it's hard to remove it. It's pretty much a permanent establishment.
It's because it just moves so fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's you can't keep up to it. And what we say to most people, it's a lot easier to avoid these situations than try and fix them.
Well, that's always good advice for anybody. James, when you're in one of these situations, I don't know. Maybe the advice is different for everybody, but in some cases, I've seen organizations or establishments say, okay, we're going to batten down the hatches. We're not going to talk. We're going to stay quiet. And then others I've seen be more proactive. Is there is there some theory on which way is best?
There's lots of theories, and I've always found you have to figure out where you're going to eventually get to and get there. There's no point if you think there's going to be a time where you have to take a step back, when you have to admit fault or whatever. If you believe that you will eventually have to get there, then you may as well go there early so that you don't, you take as little of the hit as possible. That being said, some people, if they really feel that they did nothing wrong and they're want to stand strong, that's their prerogative. And if that's where they're going to go, they just need to stick to that position.
Yeah, and the court of public opinion has some pretty harsh jurors, right?
It's true. You know, customers, you have two things. One is you have your customers, and they will decide with their feet whether they're going to come back. But the harder thing is the Twitterverse and the social media that is just ready to pounce on somebody and eager to do whatever they can to make sure you can't recover.
It can certainly be a powerful tool in some cases.
For sure. It can be a tool. We've seen it be a tool for good, but more often than not, we've also seen it as a permanent tool for bullying.
I guess it's something that the industry, as you mentioned, looks at, but more and more as we move down this road, it becomes even more important, doesn't it?
It definitely does, especially now we're seeing a lot of people are weaponizing that tool in order to make a political point. And I'm thinking of people that are against mask mandates or vaccine mandates. We're getting a lot more people that are standing up on social media and say giving one-star reviews or giving horrible comments based on the fact that they're following the law. So it's, as I said, it can be a tool for good, but it also is a powerful tool that is sometimes abused.
James, thanks for your time today.
Anytime. Have a great day.
James Arlette is a vice president of Central Canada for Restaurants Canada. It does strike me that once the genie's out of the bottle, so in other words, once this happened yesterday, once the video began to be seen and began to be posted and the reactions began to pour in, once the genie's out of the bottle, in my view, there's very little you can do except to stand up and own it. And, well, look, we do know that man who identified himself as an owner of the restaurant felt the entire story wasn't getting out. I will say this, that's on you. If you'd like the story to get out, feel free to get out the story. There are avenues with which you can do that. Now, will it save you? Nope. It won't. It really won't. Will it curb the firestorm to some degree? Well, it depends on how you decide to handle that. There's a couple of different ways to handle it. One would be to stand up and say, you know what, we didn't handle this well. This isn't right. These are the reparations that we're prepared to make, and this is what we are prepared to do moving forward. For the people who are angry at you, that's probably not going to change any minds. For the people who are kind of angry at you, it may take a little bit of the edge off. The other option is to hunker down and ride it out. It's just 30, 40 years ago when I'd see this happen, riding it out was pretty simple. The news cycle was max, maybe 24 hours. Incident happened, here's reaction, here's a story, now we're out, that's it. Today, that is not the case, because while this gathered a significant amount of attention, obviously in the region of Waterloo, across the province, and even across the country, and has even moved into some international spheres, it's probably not over yet. And that's the only way to handle it. Crisis management is get out in front of it. And guess what? Sometimes that's really painful. And that's really, really awkward. Just like when you had to be called in for that chat with your parents. Terry, go ahead.
Hey, Brian. Yeah, Mike was talking about this topic in the morning show. And he had a guest from the, the Service Animals of Canada, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And someone called in, because I called in to have my two cents. And someone called in after me and they said that he felt it was, I don't know, I mean, I could, I'm not quoting it accurately because I didn't really get exactly word for word what the caller said, but he said that he travels abroad and he sees people being threatened all the time at restaurants because they're questioning whether they have masks on, and he said people are losing their teeth. But from that video, that fellow didn't seem threatening at all. Like, the owners were the ones that were raising their voice because they were swearing back and forth. And then when he called him an idiot, and then the fellow called the one of the owners an idiot, and he's the one that lunged at him. Like, that, there's that's not a threat, man. If anything, like, I don't know what he was getting at on that when he called in this morning, but no, that he did not look threatening one bit. I mean, I might have missed a bit, But from the 4.5 minutes of footage, he didn't look threatened. He was just standing up for what he believed in, and good for him for doing that. And, yeah, they should have talked in a calmer tone. You know, he was swearing, but I think he was swearing because they were swearing at him first. Unless I'm missing something, unless I got the wrong video, but from the appearance of the footage that I saw, I'm telling you, the guy did not look threatening at all, and pushing him to the ground was not... That was so out of line. I don't know what to tell you, Brian, but those two fellows, they should close up and move out of Dodge before this gets worse, because the lynch mob's probably going to come after them. I mean, I'm not just saying that in a matter of speech, but people are going to protest that place, and it's not going to. I mean, for their own safety, I think they better just lock up and go.
Well, and Terry, you know, but you mentioned a really good point, and that's when the language turns, that's how things escalate very, very quickly. Right.
Exactly. Well, exactly. Like, clearly the fellow is disabled. So I'm not saying he wouldn't know better, but I think the owner should have known better, because it's an establishment. They own the place. Like, the tone that they were carrying out was not adequate for a business. Like, I don't care where you're from or what you learned, because they were older than he was. But still, that was not appropriate. That they should have de-escalated, like the caller yesterday said. It should have been de-escalated. They should have spoken in a much calmer tone. You don't swear at someone when they're under distress. That just creates more chaos. So I think that thing should have been handled differently. And if these guys lose their business, you know what, Brian? I won't shed one single tear for them. But that's just me.
All right. Thanks, Terry. Appreciate it. And look, that's the escalation of things. How many times all of us have probably been in that situation at one point or the other? And language can escalate things very quickly. You're much more likely to get angry and frustrated when you get a few F-bombs and other words dropped in your direction. Next thing you know, things are out of control. And to Terry's point about the two gentlemen in that video being older, if they are, in fact, the owners of the establishment, they have far more to lose and need to be far more cognizant of that. Easy to say when you're not in the moment. I get it. Kyle, go ahead.
Did you look at the comments from those videos?
Did you see anything
from the family member? Because I saw one where there was a family member that commented on that boy that was being assaulted. Okay, so you kind of know I'm not going to say it all on air, but you kind of know the background of that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. So, I mean, you know, I looked at the video and I was wanting to go through the video and literally... not assault the guy, but like literally put the guy on his backside and just, you know, give him a shake and say, listen, do you know what you're doing? Like it's to a point where it even got me heated in the moment, because it's like, if I was there, it's somebody on the mic said, you know, it's sad that we all have to pull out our phones to get to show what's going on. Then someone just manning up and just being like, listen, guys, can you not do this right now? You know, like, and just get involved and just I'm not saying be mean or anything like that, but just kind of de-escalate the situation and stuff. And it's sad that we do that. You know, I used to be a soccer convener for the tournament in Niagara. And I'm going to say probably every year, at least once, I had to call the police, because that's how aggressive parents have gotten. And you just kind of have to sit back and say, listen, relax. You know, this is what's going to happen. And it's sad nowadays that we have to go to our phones and videotape it and show what's going on than just actually just kind of helping out, right?
Yeah, I know, Kyle, but let's think about that for a second. So you have got three people who are involved in a, you know, pretty significant argument. The best thing for you today do may not be to get in the middle of it.
Well, right? So you're going to let some two grown adults go up against some kid?
I know. I know.
Right?
I can understand.
I don't care if I got charged on that because I'm helping a kid out. You know what? I don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't care. You know what? I would take that right to the court and say, listen, if you want to charge me, go ahead. But you know what? I don't see how it's right for two adults to beat up on some poor kid who's got a service dog, whether he's got the papers or not, to go in the way he treated them. So, like, you know what? I know you're saying that, you know, it's not a good idea, but when you're in that moment, like I said,
absolutely.
I
get it.
Right? Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Kyle. And I don't say that as a way to say, well, you know, people shouldn't get involved. That's not what I'm saying. It can give you some pause. Shelley, go ahead.
Good afternoon. My thought on the situation is this gentleman had a service dog with him, which means he has some kind of disability or some kind of a need to have the service dog with him.
Well, and Shelley, and before we go into that, let's recognize there are service dogs, there are guide dogs, there are therapy dogs, there are emotional support dogs, and, you know, he can have the dog with him because it just makes him feel better, right? Oh, so it may not necessarily be disability the way we think about it.
No, absolutely. I did read online last night a few people who said they were relatives of this young man, that he's got some, maybe a disability or, like you said, a definite reason to have that dog with him. I don't think staff in stores or management in restaurants are trained in any way to deal with people that need their dog with them. So I think that maybe these gentlemen, for whatever reason, they didn't want the fellow in their store or in their restaurant, but they didn't take into consideration that that gentleman may not have understood why they were asking him to leave. And they just went overboard, and this gentleman got so extremely upset, which he had every right to do.
All right, thanks.
So I just don't think that they had the knowledge to deal with the gentleman in the terms he should have been in dealt with, which was much, much nicer than they dealt with him.
All right, thanks, Shelley. And some of that may lie in regulation. So one of the people we're going to talk to today is David Leposky, chair of the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act Alliance, which this fits right into David's wheelhouse in discussing the usage and the appearance of emotional support dogs, therapy dogs, service dogs, guide dogs. It's very different, I think, and I think I'm on fairly safe ground when I say this, that were a guide dog to come in, we would all be familiar with that, and we would say, guide dog can certainly come in and sit with its companion, because it's not really right to say owner. It's kind of a companion. But we are in a little bit of a different place now. As you may or may not know, we do have a therapy dog, and she has gone through some training with St. John Ambulance to get to that point. She has her little bandana, and she has her little ID card. She doesn't have any papers, so to speak, but she does that, and her job is to go around and make people feel better. So she makes herself available for some patting and some discussion and things like that. And, of course, in order to get into that job, you need to be obviously not an aggressive dog, not a skittish dog, be pretty comfortable with people, and, I will point out, people with some kind of medical appliance, which could be a walker, could be a wheelchair, could be a scooter, any one of those things. The dog needs to be comfortable with them, and she is. But are they covered under the Ontarians with Disabilities Act? One of the questions we'll ask David Leposky, and I think Shelley's got a really good point, that people combine those terms, service dog, guide dog, therapy dog, emotional support animal, and, you know, what are the rights, what are the responsibilities, and what are the regulations? All of those things are important, because generally you don't allow animals into the indoor dining area of a restaurant, except in the condition perhaps of a guide dog. Maybe we do need more education on that. All of that being said, the way that it was handled in this case still goes far beyond any level of regulation and just goes down to, by the way, this is maybe not the right way to treat people, regardless of what has happened. If it was a situation where people were drunk, et cetera, there are other organizations that are trained to handle that. They are called the police service. You call the police service, you back away, you let somebody else handle it who perhaps is more skilled in the art of de-escalation, which in the case of that video, there could be several people who would be more skilled because there was no de-escalation going on there. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.
Most operators do look at it and have a plan. They spend a lot of time training their staff, and they're trying to adjust for things like that. Unfortunately, once it gets into the ether of the internet, and once it gets on the websites that rate restaurants, it's hard to remove it. It's pretty much a permanent establishment.
James Jarrell at Restaurants Canada, Vice President. Steve, go ahead.
Well, I think what we need to remember here, first and foremost, is we do not know the entire story here.
Nope.
What we saw was a horrific situation. Totally understand that. We don't know the story leading up to it. We don't know if this person has been in there before, caused problems or anything else. We do not know these things. So until the entire story is out there, I don't think we should be hanging these two gentlemen. Having said that, I don't agree with the way that they handled it. Totally unprofessional, totally just bad, just a bad situation altogether. Having said that, though, everybody's reporting on the fact that this, you know, and you saw it in the video that he said it three times that he had a license for this dog. And then the fourth time he says, I don't have the license with me. So really, what is the true story here? Like, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that these restaurateurs also keep in mind this, they've been through hell and back. All of them, like as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're worried about a lot of things out there. Like they're worried about their livelihood. They've got everything invested into these places. And all of a sudden COVID hits and they get, you know, basically decimated. That business, that whole industry has been decimated beyond belief. So they're hanging on by a thread. Pressures are mounting. And I'm not saying it's right the way they handled it, but at the end of the day, we've already convicted these people.
And the only way, Steve, that they can fight that is to come and tell their story.
Yep, absolutely. I agree.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. That's why I say, clamming up and not saying anything, stupid strategy. Sorry, PR people. Darren, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, just building on what Steve said, we do not know what happened before the video. Now, one thing that you mentioned about calling the police, my buddy was in a Service Ontario place earlier this week. A guy came in and started swearing at the people who worked there, swearing at the people who were in the place. And he had a lot of business to do. He had a fleet of cars he was registering.
Mm-hmm.
He was there for 20 minutes. They called the police. By the time he was done his business and left, the crazy guy that they ended up just serving him was still there. Police did not show up. So as restaurant owners, I'm sure they know that a police situation, he's not going to get help from the police anytime soon. And from what I saw in the video, yes, it was horrific. But the owners at one point, they're begging the guy to leave. They're begging him. Just leave. They want him to leave. You should, if you have a private business, you should be able to decide. If it would have been nice if the guy would have left. He knew he was on video. He looked over. I know he knew he was on video. He could have easily, you know, done his stuff later, sued, whatever. But, I mean, it was, you could say the guys were unreasonable. But it was also unreasonable the guy just wouldn't leave and then take it up later. But
perhaps so, Darren. But I think you have to look at it. This is the way I look at it, that regardless of what happened before, darn it, just shouldn't have reached that point. Shouldn't have. No matter what happened
absolutely.
Before.
Absolutely. But so Brian, here's the thing. You're one of the owners, and let's say you want a guy to leave. Let's say it's a different situation.
Sure.
And the guy doesn't leave. What do you do? Then ask him. Like, it's very well for us to say, you know, sitting around, oh, then you have to de-escalate it. But in reality, there's
not
a lot of tools available. Yeah, in the moment, what do you... Like, you keep trying and trying. Those owners, they were, or whoever they were, those guys, they were, if you watch it carefully, they were begging, just leave. They just wanted to leave. And we don't know what happened before. And yeah, it's true that it doesn't really, in a way, you can say it doesn't matter.
Sure.
But something happened before. They said, we've asked you 100 times. And, you know, it was a bad situation all around. But I totally agree with Steve. We don't know everything. We've done this before. The media has gone, remember Ferguson, Missouri, to take it.
Hey, wait, Darren. Don't blame us. Yeah. We went and asked. We tried to talk to the owner. We tried to get that part of the story out. He's turned us down. So it's not our fault.
Okay.
Like that, I'm sorry. All we can do is ask. And look, you can. I will have people who will tell me, well, you know, you're afraid of being treated badly. Yes, I've said that. It would be a very awkward conversation. It would be a very difficult thing to do. I understand that. I really do. But there's no other way out. Once it starts, let's combine it all together. Once it hits the internet, once it hits the Twitterverse, which is, in all honesty, going to be ahead of mainstream media because they're just able to do that and we can't. There's no other way out. Clamming up, going away, hoping it'll hide? I don't know. That rarely works. This is Kitchen Today on City News 570.
You may be big and fat. Or uglier than sin, all the ladies shut you out. You're wondering how to get in. Well, here is my advice for how to make a splash. You can have your pick of gals if you've only got a mustache. A mustache, a mustache. If you've only got a mustache. A mustache, a mustache, a mustache. Big mustache, thick mustache. My mustache, your mustache. Say the word mustache. A mustache. Now we both have said mustache, a mustache, a mustache. If you've only got a mustache.
Welcome back to Kitchen Today. It is a Friday afternoon from 2 till 3, of course. The phones are free, actually, from shortly before 2. Happy to weigh in on any one of a number of things. We've already discussed the very serious topic of where to get the best hot turkey and hot chicken sandwich. That will continue to stay open because it seems there is no lack of people who wish to discuss that. And also the incident at Milton's restaurant has some interest. We can talk a little bit more about that as well as the day goes on, which we will do right now. David Lepofsky is the chair of Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act Alliance and joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon, David.
How are you?
I'm not so bad. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Interesting incident that happened here in Kitchener, which I don't know if you're aware of, but it's kind of been everywhere. About a young man.
I read your report.
Thank you.
I read the report that you've got online.
Thank you. That's helpful, David. So, do we know the regulations surrounding, and let me list them here, guide dogs, service dogs, therapy dogs, emotional support animals? Do we know what the rules are, if there are any?
Well, we start from the Human Rights Code. And the Human Rights Code provides that people that provide a service to the public or a facility like a restaurant have to provide service free of disability discrimination. And that includes a duty to accommodate people with disabilities up to the point of undue hardship to the establishment. And it's the burden's on the restaurant to show that we couldn't have done better. It would have been impossible to do better without undue hardship. And obviously I was not there and I can't vouch for any of the facts. But we know this, that part of the duty to accommodate is a duty to, if you've got a concern as a restaurant, to investigate solutions, find ways to solve the problem. And that would, in this case, or in any case, if an owner has a patron who has a disability and a disability service animal, and if there is, for one thing, they can't just say, no, you can't come in. And for a second thing, they can't say, just, you can't, you got to leave. If there's no behaviors, if the animal is minding their own business and not bothering anybody else and not intruding on other people and so on at all. But if there is a concern, they've got to properly investigate the situation. And that involves giving basic respect to the patron with a disability, identifying yourself, saying what it is your concern is, and then having affording an opportunity to investigate it. And just so you know, I mean, part of the duty to accommodate is actually accommodating the person. But showing undue hardship, the burden is on the restaurant to say, hey, it was impossible to do more and to do better without undue hardship. And that's not an easy burden to meet. And properly so. So that's the context. And if people want to know about the duty to accommodate, I can flip you the link to this. I actually gave a talk at our law school, not about this case that preceded this, but aimed at the public, just explaining what is the duty to accommodate people with disabilities and what are the obligations and who does it apply to and how does it work? I can send a link to your producer. I gave it as a talk to law students, but what's actually really cool about this is it's been seen over 1,600 times, and that's not by law students. I found out that the Toronto District School Board, to their credit, sent it to all of their principals and vice principals, said, we want you to know about this. So if this is useful, if people are listening to us who either, own a store or they run a workplace or whatever, or if they have disabilities and want to know what it's about, I try to make it clear to people in straightforward language. And this is just a situation where those principles would be brought to bear.
So to be clear here, David, look, I have a dog. I don't need the dog as a emotional support or therapy dog or anything else like that. I just happen to have a dog. And if I want to go inside a restaurant, they have the right to refuse to let me in, right, in that case?
Well, the principles I'm talking to you about apply to people with disabilities, and the accommodation is, like, I'm blind and I don't use, I use a white cane, so I can't ask to bring a dog in with me if I had a pet. If I was, if I used a guide dog, then I would have the right because of the duty to accommodate me. It's a the service animal assists me in being able to fully participate in society. Now, I don't know the situation in this case, and that's why I'm very carefully not addressing it. But if the patron has a disability, and if the animal is a service animal in connection with their disability, and service can be support, or it doesn't have to just be helping a blind person find their way down the street. The service animals provide different kinds of support and assistance to an individual with a disability. And if the establishment owner has some doubt about whether the person has a disability and need it, there are ways to identify yourself so that the customer knows who's asking and why, and so on, and then to undertake the appropriate inquiries to determine if there is an accommodation need here. And here the accommodation could well have just been let the person, you know, be. You know, if the dog is not, if the animal's not interfering with other people's, you know, situation, and they, you know, like, and so on. And even if there are, if there's an issue about the dog's behavior, you would take it up with the owner and say, look, we've got a concern. Can you manage this? And so on. And let me talk to you about the reason for identifying yourself.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not going into the facts of this case. I don't know if they did or they didn't.
No, that's fine, Dave. You can speak in generalities.
But, I want your audience to picture this. I'm blind. I use a white cane. And I go to the airport. This happened some years ago. And I check in at the airline, and I say I need someone to assist me out of the plane. And they said, fine, you sit down here, and when we're ready, we'll take you. And that's fine. And they did all that. But at one point, somebody from the airline just walked over to me and said, could you give me your passport? Now, you got to picture this. I'm at the airport. Some stranger walks up to me and says, can you give me your passport? And I said, who are you? Right? I'm not going to just hand it to anybody. I want to know who I'm giving my passport to. So as your listeners are listening, you figure this would be an easy one for someone to say, hi, I'm with the airline. We're just going to get ready to check you in. Can you just, I need your passport for a moment for this purpose. But I'm not just going to hand it to anybody. I'm blind. They could walk away. I won't even know who they are. So, and did I, you know, I mentioned I got a white cane, so it's obvious I'm there. I'm in the seating area specifically for passengers with who are awaiting ground assistance, so that means unaccompanied minors and people with disabilities. So presumably the staff who are doing this have been trained to deal with it. So it's really important if you're going to ask somebody, now if the person in the restaurant is sighted, if somebody walks up to you, if they're in a uniform, that would be one thing. If it's a uniform associated with the restaurant that everybody wears, that would be one thing. But if not, if a stranger walks over to you, they could just be another customer. So it's really important, and I would think relatively obvious that you've got to identify yourself.
And that makes perfect sense, David. So I guess the other question, one of the other questions that I have is if an owner comes up to someone and says, I see you have a dog. Now, the dog can have a vest on or not have a vest on, but does the owner have that right to go to the potential patron and say, you know, I'm the owner of this restaurant. What is your disability? Do you have proof? Is there a right there, or is it just we're assuming nobody's trying to scam the system?
Okay. It's important that the accommodation, there's a whole lot of granular detail I can't sort of answer in the abstract. And it depends on the circumstance. Okay. But it's, you know, if the disability is, if there's an issue about whether the person really has a disability and it is a disability service animal, then so that the provider, the establishment, can determine whether we, you know, somebody is trying to bring just their own personal pet in, there are reasonable inquiries they can make. It doesn't necessarily mean, can you provide necessarily mean, you know, can I have your letter of diagnosis from your doctor or something sitting there in a restaurant? There are, and the Human Rights Commission, to its credit, the Ontario Human Rights Commission on their website, have some policy documents up there that will help people understand kind of what's appropriate and what's within the appropriate bandwidth. And by the way, if your listeners want to get that video I mentioned, I'm going to send the link to your producer if you'll post it online. But otherwise, just go to YouTube and search on my name, David, LEPOFSKY, and Duty to Accommodate, and you'll see it comes up.
So I had heard that under Ontario law, that for somebody with an emotional support animal, service animal, that a note from a doctor is I guess part of the situation.
Okay, so let me explain how this works. The Human Rights Code is the law that prevails. Now, as well, we have the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act, or AODA. And under it, and you've had me on your show to talk about that law. I led the campaign to get that law passed. And under that law, there is a customer service, accessible customer service regulation, and it speaks to some of the circumstances applicable to service animals. However, and that's what you're referring to, there are documentation provisions that are there. However, the important thing to understand is the law that gives the greatest protection to people to accessibility is the one that prevails. And the AODA says that explicitly. So even if that regulation says it requires something, that doesn't trump the Human Rights Code if the Human Rights Code is more effectively protective of the right to full participation. So you can't just look at that regulation and say, well, I complied with that regulation, I did everything I got to do. They still have obligations on the Human Rights Code. And by the way, for people who might scratch their head and say, well, why don't they get the regulation right? We have urged the Ontario government under Doug Ford and before to make sure that these regulations are strong enough to meet the requirements of the Human Rights Code. So business owners and so on, have a clear idea what they got to do. And unfortunately, governments have not listened to us.
This all seems way more complex than it should be, David. Am I wrong on that?
Well, you know, at one level, it could seem that way. On the other hand, the duty to accommodate is, it's like, as I explained in this video, it's pretty straightforward. And in the end, accommodating customers with disabilities is in the interest of a business because they want more customers. So it's where human rights and business success, if they're done right, go hand in hand.
It must be in some ways, and I know you don't know all the details of this case, but it's still got to be disappointing to see what's happened here.
Well, I'll tell you this. What is frustrating is that people with disabilities, including those with service animals, keep encountering different difficulties in getting an Uber or a taxi or going to restaurants. Not all the time, but too much of the time. And the government's known this for years. That's why we fought for the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act. But the Doug Ford government is doing such an abysmal job of implementing it and enforcing it that these things keep happening. And as a result, some people, when they think about whether they want to get a service animal, if you were, for example, a blind person, I know this case isn't apparently about a blind individual, but I know from talking to some blind people who think about whether they're going to get a guide dog, have to balance on the one hand, the dog can give you a whole lot of independence and a great mobility. But on the other hand, you got to start worrying about, well, except I might not be able to get an Uber to pick me up, because too often they just drive on by. And I've heard this back from a number of, and I'm not trying to say all Ubers are like that, but too often this happens, or taxis. And so it's a frustration, and there is a role for the provincial government in this to effectively implement this legislation, but they haven't been doing so. And people with disabilities are the victims as a result. And too often we hear about concerns in access to public facilities when it comes to using a guide dog or other service animal.
David, thanks for your time as usual.
Great to talk to you. Take care and have a good weekend.
And David Leposky is the chair of Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities ACT Alliance. I mean, we do try to figure out what are the rules. So it is, as you heard, a matter of accommodation. And as David rightfully points out, in this case, perhaps accommodation was just leave it alone. There is, again, and I find this interesting, that if you can accommodate, and the dog is, of course, not a problem to other customers, and I think we have to assume at this point that if it's a guide dog, if it's a service dog, and if it's a properly trained therapy dog, that it will not be a bother to other customers. It is relatively easy simply to say your animal is an emotional support animal. I'm not saying that that's the case here, but that is the owner does have the right if that animal would be a distraction, a problem in the restaurant, for example, barking all the time, running around, doing things that dogs shouldn't do inside restaurants, then, of course, you have a different issue. But the simple accommodation, if, in fact, it is that kind of a dog, it should be pretty clear from the very beginning. Vest or no vest, the ones that are trained properly, you can certainly tell. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.
We start from the Human Rights Code. And the Human Rights Code provides that people that provide a service to the public or a facility like a restaurant have to provide service free of disability discrimination. And that includes a duty to accommodate people with disabilities up to the point of undue hardship to the establishment.
David Leposky, chair of the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities ACT Alliance, and gives at least some explanation to what happens to someone who comes in with a service, therapy, guide, emotional support animal. Take your pick. Justin, go ahead.
Hey, Brian, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being had.
I actually have more of a curiosity that this conversation has been burning. I just, driving here, I caught the of David's interview there, and I was just wondering what happens in the hypothetical scenario where a dog is a service dog that also has somebody that has an allergy. Like, is that a cause for the dog getting kicked out kind of thing? Or does the person have to leave? And I was honestly wanted to put up a flare and ask any other listeners out there that maybe work in or manage restaurants if they ever encountered that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Our dog's a therapy dog, Justin, and she's hypoallergenic. So if you're allergic to dogs, she's not going to be an issue for you.
Oh, okay.
But, and I know a lot of service and therapy dogs are hypoallergenic, but not all of them. So that's an interesting question.
Unfortunately, I'm not the most knowledgeable. So I just I don't have much of a comment on it, and I'd rather not, remove the illusion that I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, don't do that. By the way, it hasn't worked in my career. Thanks, Justin. Appreciate the call. But that is an interesting question. Would that be enough? I am, top of my head, I say no, but that's top of my head. And it's not as accurate as other things some days. On the other side, retired Dr. Terry Polivar joins us, resident of Waterloo. Apparently had some trouble booking a PCR test as he tried to come back from the United States. Terry has been around for quite some time in Waterloo, has an interesting background, and lately has been taking on what he would, I think, certainly call quackery. We'll have a chat with Terry just after 1:30. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.
Talk about me.
Never a good sign when your guest disappears. Things like that can happen sometimes. Not a big deal. We'll make every effort to get back to him. It is, of course, Friday, which means from, well, a little later on this half hour, but yeah, technically from 2 till 3, the phones are wide open for whatever you want to talk about. Get an awful lot of emails from people today much of it is about the Milton's restaurant situation, and then the difference between the guide and the service and the therapy and the emotional support dogs, all of those things. And like I say, I don't look at that incident and dismiss anything just simply because the dog may not be whatever. That's not the point. It was a point of education about the regulation and, you know, it, because it's changed. Back in the day, and I want to say like 20 years ago, most people would recognize a guide dog, right? Because we're all familiar with that, because it is these remarkable things that happen with those dogs, often Labrador Retrievers, because they're so darn smart. But there are other types of dogs as well that work as guide dogs. And but then we've come along the lines here to service dogs. We've heard about emotional support animals and therapy dogs, which is a category that our dog fits into, which isn't extensive training by any means, but it's often just a test to see how are they with medical appliances, walkers, strollers, those kinds of things. And how are they in terms of people approaching them and them approaching people? It's really more of a temperament thing than anything else, although they get used to the appliances that are out there. We have managed to reconnect with our guest. Terry Polovoy is a retired physician and apparently has been spending a little time in the United States. Terry, good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm good. Long time. You probably don't even remember, but we probably chatted 30 years ago.
Probably about smoking or something.
That was exactly back when you were causing trouble in that arena, right? So tell me your story on the PCR testing and what's happened to you here.
Well, about 2 weeks ago, I tried getting a hold of my local MP and asked her if she could let me know why we're required to have PCR tests coming back into Canada from just a 3 or 4 day trip to visit relatives, and it had to be done within 72 hours of returning. So I didn't get any answer. She couldn't intervene. The public health officer in Ottawa, Dr. Tam, didn't respond. And so I started looking online, various sources of people's experiences getting PCR. Because, number one, the 72-hour PCR requirement doesn't make any sense to anybody in medical profession. It doesn't make any sense to border mayors. It doesn't make any sense to anybody. So I explored where I'm going to visit with my sister to try and check out local pharmacies and clinics. And I tracked about 5 or 6 sources down, and none of them were open within 72 hours of me requiring it for myself and my wife to come back into Canada through Lewiston. They're closed on Sundays. Sunday, we wanted to come back in on a Wednesday, which means it's going to add extra expense to us. And none of the clinics would guarantee that it would take less than 2 to 3 days to get the results anyway. So no matter where we registered, and you can register, it costs about $139 for each test at the cheapest place I found. Some of the CBC coverage has said that it's free, but it's not free. I haven't found anybody else that's not charging for the test. So if no one else in this country comes across the border with the PCR test, what is the government going to do? On record, they've been fining people up to $5,000 to $6,000 for not having the test coming back into Canada.
So you
makes no sense.
You mentioned, Terry, that it made no sense. So in what sense does having this test not make sense?
You don't need a PCR test if you're going to be there for 24 to 72 hours. Let's say you're going to see a hockey game in Detroit or Buffalo, or whatever, and you're not visiting relatives 2 or 3 days away. Why not just get the test when you come back? Why not just get any test? Why not get the rapid test done? They're not allowing any rapid tests to be done.
So you're a medical doctor, Terry. Is the PCR test better than the rapid test?
I don't think so. I really don't. And everybody else, they're saying it's too expensive. It's not available everywhere. Like in the town where my sister lives, there might be one CVS pharmacy or one Walgreens and a few little public clinics. But if they're not open during the appropriate 72-hour prior to entry back into Canada, what's the sense? I'm not going to stay an extra 2 days or 1 day just to stay at my sister's house to get the appropriate done. And then it's not guaranteed it's coming back in time. So if I try and cross over on a Thursday or a Friday, they're not going to honor the test because it was done too many days before. Makes no sense at all.
So what are your options here then, Terry?
I could come back without a test and see if they're going to fine me $5,000 to $6,000 at the border. That's what I'm thinking I'm going to end up doing if I can't get the test. If I get it done too early, they're not going to let me cross. There was a story the other day someone posted that their mother was flying in from somewhere out of the country, and she had the test done like within the same day, but it was done too early, so it was not done on time, and she got fined, an elderly woman. And who's going to administer this? Who's going to prosecute them? Are they going to take my driver's license away because I didn't pay didn't get the test done? What kind of threats are there? Makes no sense.
They're not
going to be saying anything until the 21st of November. And I'll be where my sister is on the 21st of November.
I guess it's a matter of crossing your fingers and hoping the requirement is dropped.
Well, should it? Why are they waiting 2 or 3 weeks to make it to change it? It makes no sense. Our members of Parliament have spoken out against it. Some of them, have not. Some of them said, "Hey, listen, I can't rock the boat with my own party." The minority parties have spoken out. Their leaders have spoken out against it. Major. Where there's a lot of crossing, like Windsor or Buffalo, they've been talking against it, which is going to cut off people coming into their country. Like they say, the people from Windsor are locked out because they can't go to any hockey games or basketball games or whatever they're doing there. And there are like 1,500 or 1,600 Canadians that work every single day in Detroit, and they're not being required to have the PCR test. So why are they... Why are they focusing on people like myself and my wife who want to go visit relatives we haven't seen in 2 years?
And I'm assuming have taken every other precaution along the road.
Yeah, we're all fully immunized. I can't get my third booster till like the second week in December, but we're fully immunized, and that should be the end of it.
Is this often heard term that I really have come to hate in the last year and a half, Terry, out of an abundance of caution?
I don't know where their abundance of caution actually sits. No one can prove that having a PCR test is more effective than having a rapid antigen test that you can get in an airport, for instance, or at a local health unit, or you can get it in the mail and drop it off at a drugstore, and in 2 or 3 days, or actually the same day, you can get a reading. Instant reading.
Well, Terry, thanks for your time today. Good luck on your trip.
I'll let you know when I get back.
Thanks, Terry.
I'll be dragging the ball and chains with me when I come back.
Thanks, Terry. Retired Dr. Terry Polavoy is a resident of Waterloo, planning to go to the United States to visit a relative, and caught up in some PCR testing quandary. Part of it is that the area he's going to, and it's New York State, so a lot of the places that offer a test aren't open on a Sunday, wants to come back on the following Thursday. It can take up to 72 hours, sometimes more, to process those tests. And if they, let's do the calendar math on this, if they get the test done on Monday the 22nd, the test may not be ready for the 24th when they cross back into Ontario. Rapid testing, I don't know, if you're offering rapid testing, then rapid testing works, right? Why the PCR test? My guess is that this is going to be loosened up to some degree on the 21st of November, because that's when we make our border announcements, is around the 21st of November. I'm guessing it's going to be loosened up a little bit then. How far, I don't know. And as we see, as we have in the last few days, increases in cases in Ontario, that discussion on a pause of lifting of some restrictions, perhaps not. But common sense, and I realize it doesn't get out there that often these days, common sense says if you're offering the rapid testing, that should be good enough to get you back into your own country if you've been fully vaccinated, right? Right? Yeah, I didn't think it was just me. Star 570-570-2545, 1-800-570-5715. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.
You don't need a PCR test if you're going to be there for 24 to 72 hours. Let's say you're going to see a hockey game in Detroit or Buffalo, and you're not visiting relatives 2 or 3 days away. Why not just get the test when you come back? Why not just get any test? Why not get the rapid test done? They're not allowing any rapid tests to be done.
We're talking to Dr. Terry Polevoy. We're planning a trip down to New York to see a relative. And trying to do his due diligence ahead of time. Get a PCR test. Oops. Maybe can't find one. Has to be done, finished 72, within 72 hours. May not be able to get the test results there, too. And look, there's first world problem, right? I get it. I understand that. You'd have to stay an extra night. That's not that tough. But there are rapid tests available. Why not use those? What a fine idea. I do have a sense that with the fuss over the PCR testing on your way back into Canada, that will be loosened to some degree in the next 2 or 3 weeks. 21st of November is when we're kind of expecting an announcement on that. Still, a bunch of extra hoops to jump through when you are traveling. And like I said, I'll wait a little bit of time before we actually plan anything on that. Just because hopefully things will lift. Now, we're into the middle of something here in Ontario. Who knows exactly what it is in terms of the number of cases going up, et cetera, et cetera. We'll have to see over the next couple of weeks. But it's like, if the rapid tests work, then get the rapid test. Pretty simple. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, I feel bad for the guy. That's how crazy things are right now. The government is just completely incompetent as usual. I'll give you, before the jabs came out, you could get the long test, which he's correct, can be up to 72 hours to get that test. And that gave you, you could go into retirement homes, old folk homes, right, for a week after that test was completed. Once you got the results, you had 7 days where you could go into multiple retirement homes with the most vulnerable people in them. This is before the jabs.
Yeah. Yeah, and a test is exactly that, Alex. It's a moment in time.
No. I'm just saying. So if they were letting before the jabs, right? And the jabs are supposed to be safe and effective. So before the jabs, you could go in multiple residences of the most at-risk people in our province, in our country, multiple units over the course of a week. That was fine before the safe and effective jab. So what are they doing now? Is it just strictly incompetence?
Alex, I don't know why you have to have a PCR and not a rapid test. I don't know why there's that difference. Honestly, I don't.
But that's irrelevant. They switched to the rapid test months ago. But that's irrelevant. The fact that you could, before the safe and effective jab, you could go into the most at-risk...
Sure. Alex, why is it a jab anyways? Why do you want to call it that?
Well, because it's not a vaccine.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's not. It, by definition, it is not.
Okay.
But the CDC says it's not.
Okay.
Bill Gates says it's not.
Bill Gates had to do with it. Did he put the chip in? What?
What's that?
Did he put the chip in? What?
Well, Bill Gates is talking about vaccines on a regular basis. He's on CNN. He's on all.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm fully aware of Bill Gates' role in it. Yeah,
so
sure.
What chip are you referring to?
I don't know. I that's what I read, that Bill Gates is putting chips in vaccines.
I've not read that anywhere.
Oh, come on. Alex, you're better than that. Come on, you know stuff. You're not that out of touch. You haven't read that one? That the whole idea behind the vaccine is to put chips in people?
No.
No, get out. I'm surprised that you wouldn't know that, because you are up on stuff. I give you full credit for that.
you know, I'm on up on actual real stuff.
Oh, okay. No, I try to keep up on all of it.
Media might want to give that one a try.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Alex. So typical. My goodness. Like, you know, we try to report what people say. We do. We don't always do it perfectly. I get it. And the whole point of that was, my point on this is really simple. There's a PCR test. It takes 72 hours. That seems ridiculous when we have a rapid test. Unless the rapid test is so inaccurate that you can't do it. I get, okay, I understand this government. You're trying to put some kind of precaution in place for people coming back. I also understand why people are somewhat off about it, because they'll say, well, I had two shots, why do I have to get a test? I get that. But to me, I don't understand. Why do you need to have a test that takes 72 hours when you could have a rapid test? You could set up rapid testing sites on the way back in. You could at least add that little bit of convenience, because after all, you have imposed these restrictions on people. Like I say, I kind of expect by November 21st, there may be some changes to that to make it slightly more convenient. It is, and I fully admit this, the first world problem. You're going across the border and coming back. Certainly not a first world problem for people who work on that side of the border. But yeah, if it's just for travel, just to visit a relative, et cetera, yeah, it's a bit of a first worldy thing. But if there's a rapid test which makes things faster, doesn't that make more sense? It does to me. It is Friday. That means anything that you want to talk about. And look, it does not have to be deadly serious. We don't have to reinvent any wheels here. None of that stuff. We've had some good discussions about a number of things in this past week. And the real discussion over the past day or so has been certainly about Milton's. Okay. See, it's not taking long as someone is tying the whole Milton's thing to vaccinations, etc. All right. Let's try to keep things in our boxes. I think it's very simple to do that. I also know that somebody has sent me a note saying, what's to stop me if I have a dog from putting a vest on it and declaring it a service/therapy animal? Nothing. There's absolutely nothing stopping for you from doing that, except that if you do that, you're kind of a jerk. So don't. That would be my simplest solution to all of that. But yeah, you can do it. I know that there are people who have done it. You, quite simply, shouldn't do that. Very simple. So whatever you want to talk about, now is the time to line up, because you just never know where it's going to go. I'm perfectly happy if it goes in lighter directions. Most perfectly happy if it goes in other directions as well. Earlier this afternoon, I don't know how we actually got there, except it was a random call about where's the best hot turkey or hot chicken sandwich. I did not feel, myself, qualified to answer that, because I do not believe, outside of perhaps a shining moment at a Swiss chalet, that I've ever ordered a hot chicken sandwich. Now, I tell you, I don't have any problem with Swiss chalet. I don't think it's not something I'm taking anybody on anniversary night, although I would tell you honestly, she's a huge fan of Swiss chalet, so she probably would go. So that's not the route that I'm going. But that's probably the only place I can think of where I've had a hot chicken sandwich. And as a hot turkey sandwich, probably the only place I've ever gone for a hot turkey sandwich is at home after Christmas or Thanksgiving. That would be my full experiment for that. Well, I'll bring Dean on right now. Dean, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Brad?
Good.
Yeah, I got a personal situation here. I heard you talking about the rapid testing,
yeah,
vaccination and all that. My personal situation is my father is in a long-term care facility, and when we visit him, we have to get a rapid test done. So I guess my comment or my situation is, if I get this rapid test, it takes 15 to 20 minutes to get my result. At the rapid test, I'm allowed to enter the building, and they'll come back and give me my test results after I've entered the facility. To me, that makes no sense.
And is, so you get the test, and before you get your results, you can go in?
Correct.
It seems weird.
I think that defeats the whole purpose of trying to contain, you know, COVID and whatever else.
Did you ask anybody why? Because that would kind of be my question.
oh yeah, we did, and it's like, well, this is our policy, and to me it makes no sense. I'm not going to mention the
No, that's fine. You don't have to do that.
But yeah, to me, I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
That does seem a little bit odd, but then it's a policy, Dean. Policies are sometimes odd.
That's my two cents.
Thanks. That is a little, you'd think you'd want to wait, right? Very, very strange. There's all kinds of stuff that's going to throw us all over the place and continue to do that over the next little while until we finally walk our way through it. So I see the people. The people are coming. And at this point, because I don't want to, in a bad way, reduce your time, we'll give you the moment. So Terry, hang on. I see you're there. We'll certainly get to you right after our newscast at 2 o'clock. And we can continue the discussion. Perhaps it is somebody actually, the way it all started, somebody asked me about where to get the best liver and onions. My answer was in the wastebasket is the best place to get your liver and onions. Look, my wife has made it. She has made it smothered in bacon and onions, and it was very good. Although I would argue, almost everything in your life will be better if it's smothered in bacon and onions. Let's just look at it that way. But perhaps you feel the urge to defend liver and onions, which is, you know what, it's a hill I'm prepared to die on. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along. Come inside, the show's about to start.
Friday from 2 to 3, not to get too biblical, but it's all on the. That's when phones are free. Hey, look at me. Rhyming. Damn it. Lost the thread. It is Free Phones Friday. Anything you want to talk about. It could be something we've talked about this week. Maybe it's not something we've talked about and you'd like to give us a heads up on it. That's good, too. We always take your suggestions. Star 570 570-2545, 1-800-570-5715. Maybe you're upset about the Milton's incident. Maybe you're one of those people, I'm getting emails like this, saying, we don't know the whole story. Yes, we don't know the whole story, because the people who know the whole story won't talk to us. That makes it very difficult to tell the whole story. Kyle, go ahead.
Well, I guess you're going to start with me, eh?
yes, I just said, Kyle, go ahead.
No, but you're saying, it starts with you. Anyways, so first of all, make sure you put me on that list for the 30 minutes to be a co-host, eh?
No. Not a co-host.
A host?
Whole half hour is going to be yours.
Done.
This is flying without a parachute.
So yesterday I got a phone call that I won to go to Caribbean, and I scammed the scammer yesterday. And so I was on there, and they're like, oh, like, how old are you? And I said, I'm in my 60s, and I'm alone. And they were talking to me for a good half hour, and I was very adamant that this place has ketchup and that it's going to be all-inclusive and that, I'm going to be bringing my four other women with me and how, it's going to be I'll pay for them all. And I went on a Google and I got a fake visa generated number. Like it gives you a fake number that generates that you can give it to them.
Okay.
So I was giving him all that and they fell for it. And it was good, like 40, by the time it was done, it was a good half hour before I finally just hung up the phone on them.
Kyle, did you have not something better to do?
Well, you know what? At that time, no, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair then. I support your efforts to scam the scammers. Did it come on with your usual, this is the captain speaking?
No, it did not come up with that. It was more, I forget what it was. More, hello, this is Hilton Hotels. You have been selected to win a free Caribbean trip down south, plus one to stay on the line. And then, so I clicked one, I stayed on the line, and I went through the whole thing with them.
Yes, was it one of those ones where, it's 3 days, 2 nights, but if you'd like to stay for 7 days, we're completely willing to empty your bank account?
Exactly. It's like that. Okay. I got to go to choose if I want to go to Alaska after that, if I want to go to Carnival Cruises and all that. I recorded the whole thing off my laptop.
Nice. Who would ever want to go to Alaska in the wintertime? Come on.
No, definitely not. Anyway, that's my little story for you there, Brian. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate that. Always like to hear about the scams. I didn't know that one was out there. Again, it's been out many, many times before. Terry, go ahead.
Hey, hi, Brian. I wasn't going to call because I think people are getting tired of hearing me today calling.
That's okay. But,
yeah, I agree with you. Liver and onions definitely belong in the ash can.
Nobody likes liver and onions.
Especially the liver part.
Yeah. onions are fine. No problem there.
Yeah, onions. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But as a combination, yeah, if you're going to toss one out, to toss the liver out. Listen, Brian, I was like the earlier caller you had, he was talking about the nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
And the understanding of the rapid test and then why you have to wait 50. Actually, I had the situation happen to me because I don't know if you're right. I think I've mentioned before, my mother is in a nursing home. And I went on Thanksgiving Monday because I was in she's in a home down the south end of Cambridge. So I had my dog with my little, it's a 15-pound toy poodle dog. And at the entrance, they said they don't allow dogs. Well, they had always in the past, but, you know, I wasn't going to argue with them. So I went back to Woodstock, dropped the dog off, and then I went back. I actually grabbed my motorbike and go, it's a nice evening. I think I'll take a ride out there. So I get there, and from my understanding is if you've been, if you had the double vaccine or double vaccinated, you do the rapid test you don't have to wait for the results. You go right in, which is what happened to me. I got the rapid test. I went right in, and I didn't have to wait 15 minutes. But apparently what they told me is if you're not vaccinated or double vaccinated is you have to wait. You do the rapid test, and you have to wait 15 minutes. And then once the test comes back negative, then you can go in. So to the earlier caller, I think that's what the situation is there. I mean, I didn't ask a lot because I was just happy just to be there the first time in almost 2 years. But, yeah, that's my understanding is you can go if you're not vaccinated, but you have to wait for your results when they do the test there. So,
all right. Thanks, Terry. Appreciate the call. We'll go to Mark. Mark, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Brian.
Go ahead, Mark.
I'm back.
I know. Where were you?
Anyway, Brian.
Okay.
On the lighter side.
All right.
I know you like your music.
Yes.
Just out of curiosity, did you keep your records over the years when you were a youngster, or are they all gone?
You mean the LPs?
Yes, correct.
I actually kept them for a very, very, very long time until our last move, and two of our kids decided to get turntables, so they went through them and kept them.
Okay, they've come back.
I know. Well, you got people who will say, well, you know, it sounds so much better on vinyl. No, it doesn't. Sounds different. Doesn't sound better.
Okay, wondering. I thought you might have a couple collectors collection there.
Kids went through them. I think all three of them have turntables. Kids went through them and kept the ones they wanted. So
okay, Brian.
All right. So they actually have the opportunity to hear that intro song from Emerson, Lake & Palmer because it's on one of them. Okay, Steve, Lisa, Jim. Go to Steve. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, Brian, how's it going today?
Good.
So something that's been irking me for a couple of days here now, and I tried to call in once or twice.
Okay.
You guys were talking about that Alpine public school teacher that abused those two kids.
Yeah.
You have a caller, I think his name is Rob, that likes to call in pretty frequently.
Yes, Rob calls from time to time, yes.
Was offering some parenting advice on the air.
Yes.
So I would just like to invite our friend Rob to take a look at his personal situation before he goes offering said advice. I found it to be quite offensive. I'm trying to be polite here.
That's all right.
I don't think a man who does not have children has never parented by the sounds of it. I think that's what he said.
Yes.
I believe he needs to stay in his lane in this case.
I would just simply say, Steve, anyone who has never dealt with a five-year-old has no idea what it's like.
Yeah, and that teacher is very lucky that they were not my children. Or whether or not she teaches again would be the least of her concerns.
Oh,
not that I would advocate anything outside.
No. There's no threatening of violence, Steve. We need to get past that stuff. I get it.
Brian, I get it.
You'd be angry. I think a lot of people would be. Lisa, come ahead.
Hey, Brian. I should have been between Kyle and Terry on because I've got a comment on the liver scene. I haven't had liver since I was probably 18, and that's that's a year or two ago, but it's funny because my mom used to make liver with onions and bacon like you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I can actually still taste it. And it was really good, but I had to smother it in ketchup as well.
It was, Lisa, it was good because it had onions and bacon on it.
Well, and there's that, because liver has a really weird consistency. But
I know, it's like almost gritty, isn't it?
It is kind of almost like eating sand that's been flavored with bacon and onions. But I could taste it, and it was crazy just thinking about that.
But it's good for you. Here's the two things you hear, Lisa. Oh, it's good for you. That's the first thing you hear. That's from your mother. And the second thing you hear is, well, you just haven't had it cooked right.
You haven't. Well, it's good for you because it's blood, right? It's good for your blood. Anyway, have a nice weekend, Brian. Take care.
Thanks, Lisa. Those are the two sentences. It's good for you, or, oh, you just haven't had it cooked right. Somebody told me about that, about octopus, too. I had it cooked. It still tastes like rubber. Jim, go ahead. Jim.
Yeah, Brian, hello.
Go ahead.
I love listening to your shows and that, but I really, really get annoyed with all these experts that call in about calling children kids. There was one the other day, and I just sat and listened to her talk, and she went on and on and on about kids, and she's supposed to be a teacher, and in matter of a minute and a half, she referred to children as kids.
What's wrong with referring to children as kids?
Yeah, what? Because a kid is a goat.
No, a kid is a child.
No, a kid is a goat. You better look that up.
No, they're kids.
They're not kids. They're goats. A goat is a baby goat is a kid.
Yes, and a child is a kid. Come on, Jim, what are you doing? You canceling something, or is this cancel culture going on? What's happening?
Come on. I mean, an expert should refer to them as children.
Well, Jim, I just, where is this coming from? Why is this bothering you?
Well, it's one thing of a, you know, it just bothers me to no end. When I was in school and I referred to somebody as a kid, they'd wrap your knuckles.
Really?
Yeah.
Sorry, because if I look up in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it says a child or a young person.
Well, there you go. It says a child, not a goat.
Well, but you said it was a goat, and now there's two definitions. One's a goat, and the other one's a child or young person.
A baby goat is a kid.
Okay.
If I'm wrong, okay.
No. You're not wrong. You're right. You're half right.
Oh, okay.
Because the other half of the definition from Merriam-Webster is a child or young person. It's the other definition of a kid. So you're half right.
Beautiful.
All right.
Better to be half right than not right at all.
Jim, yeah, solid point. Can't let that one go. Grant, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with Jim. I always said they're young children. But having said that, about the teacher thing, I tried calling in a couple of times, but anyways, now I get to have my say. You said unless you've raised children, and I agree with you 100%, you don't understand how they will test you, plain and simple as that. And when our children were growing up, had three boys, and I always said I had to talk to the school principal and the teachers face-to-face and the school bus drivers and owners, etc. And I told them, listen, when my child gets on the school bus, when my child goes to school, you're responsible for his behavior. And if you don't discipline him, plain and simple as that, like you discipline your own, then I'd be disappointed. And they said, and that's when all the rules and regulations were coming in, that teachers couldn't touch a kid, la-di-da-di-da-di. And I said, I'll put it in writing. You disciplined my children. And if they don't respond to your discipline, then please call me. Because you are the guardians of my children when they are in your hands, and I expect you to discipline them in the right way, etc. And I will back you.
Would that, Grant, in your mind, Grant, would that include striking them?
I wouldn't say striking them. well, I'll tell you what I told them to do, because I used to do it at home. The methodology I had, I'd ask them to do something, like when they were playing with their toys. Okay, put your toys away, and dinner's going to be ready. And maybe 15 minutes before we're going to eat dinner, and walk away. And I'd come back 5 minutes later, and they hadn't stopped at all. And I'd say to them, did I ask you to do something? And they'd look at me, and they knew darn well. Children are not stupid. Well, they knew that they had been asked, and I'd walk away again. And if I come back 2 minutes later, then I give them what I call the silent treatment. I just grab them by the ear and say, okay. And I take them, and I lead them around till they put their toys away. And I suggested that would be okay for the teachers to do.
All right. Thanks, Grant. I got to let you go. Got another couple of people to get to. I'm not giving another person permission to strike them or do that or even tug in their ear. Kathy, go ahead.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm good.
Well, that's good. You're not having liver for dinner.
Well, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me about her just to teach me a lesson.
Yeah, she probably should. I just have a quick comment. I've been to the States a lot during COVID.
Oh, okay.
Because all three of my kids have been. So I have to always get my PCR test to come back, right? Which is not a big deal. But I have never paid for it once.
Really?
And I don't know I just give my, and maybe everybody doesn't have this, but I have extended health that I paid for separate. Because my husband owns his own business, so we don't have any health care. We buy our own.
Sure.
But I showed them that card when I get it. One was in Colorado at the hospital. I showed the card. They took it and they billed the extended health, and I've never paid for it.
Oh, okay. And Kathy, that makes perfect sense to me. I would imagine that when I go down to the United States, I'll kind of get the same deal because I've got extended health.
Well, if I paid for it in California, I came back, submitted it like a prescription, and they paid it.
Oh, okay. Look at you traveling the world.
Yeah, well.
Nothing stops Kathy.
Okay, not me. Not even a pandemic.
All right. Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate it. That's good information that maybe very well your extended health will pay for it. Not everybody has it, though. Dan, before we go to break, go ahead.
You're probably going to want to not hear too closely because this is a conspiracy.
No. I love hearing them.
Okay. It's about Mother Goose.
Okay.
And Humpty Dumpty.
All right.
She never finished that story, but I got the tail end of the story.
Okay.
Who shows up at the end of the story?
No.
All the king's
Mother Goose.
Horses and all the king's men show up.
Yes.
One of the men happened to be the sheriff. He's there to make sure there's no foul play involving Humpty's demise. So when he first surveyed the scene, he thought Humpty died of shell shock. Not so when they did the autopsy, the discovery OD'd on crack.
Oh, Dan, come on. *570-570-2545, 1-800-570-5715. It's Free Phones Friday. I know, brought it on myself. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570. All right, time for a little bit more right here. Rush, go ahead.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Good.
Good. You hear Kieran Moore yesterday or 2 days ago in his press conference?
I really didn't catch it. It was at a crappy time for me.
I found it quite interesting. He was talking about the increasing spread of COVID from restaurants and gyms and other fully vaccinated places.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to get your take on his explanation. He said that it has to be because unvaccinated people are forging their papers and sneaking in. That was his explanation. It has to be, he said. Just wondered what you thought of that.
I hate things that you can't prove, Rush. I just do. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, I can say all kinds of things. I can, maybe it's the gyms aren't checking anybody. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But I hate things that are unproven.
Maybe, and like this isn't actually a maybe, because the people who are in these facilities, when they go to the hospital or when they go and get their tests done, they know the vaccination status of these people. Maybe, just maybe, it's that the vaccines don't work nearly as well as they had sold them to us. We're already now talking about third shots for everyone. Israel's already now on their fourth shot, and yet here we are marching away on pushing all those needles into kids' arms, 5 to 11.
Okay, what would you do, Rush?
What would I do?
Yeah.
I would say everyone who wants a shot has had the opportunity to get one. Let's go. We're done. We did our part. Our 2 weeks is now 600 days. That's it. We're done. Everyone can go back to making their own risk tolerance decisions.
Well, I think everybody's making their risk tolerance decisions right now, aren't they?
Sorry, say again.
Isn't everybody making their own risk tolerance decision right now?
No,
like, I know I am.
Not at all. Well, the government isn't letting people. I know many business owners who want no part of the vaccine passport system.
Yeah, but I also know many business owners who do. So anecdotal at best, right?
Then give them the choice. Why not allow the businesses who want to segregate our society to do so, and the businesses that want to accept everyone in there based on their own risk tolerance to do that?
So what are we to take, Rush, from these? And look, cases aren't everything, but they're the numbers that we have. So what are we to take from these increasing case rates then?
What I take is that it's indisputable proof that while the vaccines may do wonders for
they're not 100% protection, we know that.
Illness, they're not really all that good at preventing cases, preventing infection or spread. So, you know, I just think it's like I said, indisputable proof that the vaccine passport system was designed for coercing uptake of vaccination, getting us out of this.
I don't doubt that for a minute. That is a large part of the reason for it, to convince more people to get vaccinated. Already late. I'm completely with you on that, Rush. And I said that from the very beginning. Yes, that is an effort at coercing people into it. And my wife has seen that by people who said, yeah, I'm here for the first shot, not by choice. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570. Star 570-570-2545, 1-800-570-5715. The numbers to call for you to take part in Free Phones Friday, which is the fourth most popular hour of radio in the region. We always go to people in chronological order, so that means we start off with Billy. Billy, go ahead. Billy.
Hello. Sorry.
Hey.
Working with that damn headphones again.
Pay attention.
All right. Yes. Okay. So, I, in keeping with the theme from yesterday of Veterans Day, I'm in my yard. I'm honoring our World War I vets who unfortunately are no longer with us by putting in a trench, fighting the war, the eternal war against the weeds and the that go against your garden and your lawn coming from the neighbors. So I'm putting a trench around pretty much my whole property and. You know, using some debris from the bathroom renovations we're doing, and things seem to be working very well.
That's good to know. Anything else, Billy?
I hope you don't think I was too harsh yesterday on the what I said about Afghanistan. As I say, I realize it's a complex problem. I just wish there was a single standard that we dealt with everyone in the world. If we got involved in their country, we treat each one with the same respect. And unfortunately, I think in a lot of third world countries, especially when I think of my wife's country, Nicaragua, there was involvement there because they saw it as a threat years ago. Then they took off the pressure. The same dictator they had in the 80s has come back, and very little is done. They try to sanction him like they're trying to sanction that crazy guy from Belarus. but there seems to be a limit is what the world community is willing to do against these people who unfortunately are international criminals.
And it does, and it, there doesn't seem to be any rules defining why a country should get involved and which country should get involved in someone else's business.
Yes, the United Nations was a great principle, great in, you know, in the principles it set down. Unfortunately, it's proven to be a very imperfect world body.
As most bureaucracies are, Billy. Right? All right. Thanks, Billy. Appreciate the call. Joe, go ahead.
Hi, Brian. You know, I wanted to say that I tend to agree with Rush on just a couple of things. You know, the vaccines are obviously wearing off a lot quicker than any of the medical experts anticipated it. You know, that's number one, and that's why they have all the extra shots, you know, the boosters. We're going to be boosting ourselves into oblivion the way it's going here, Brian. I mean, is this ever going to end? Like, I have a couple of friends that work in the medical field, and they're kind of saying, you know what, this is going to go on for years. You know, to hit zero cases, I mean, we're a long time off. And the scary thing, Brian, is this. The people that are fully vaccinated, good for them. The thing is this, that they're going to a lot of these places where there's lots of people around. They're not following the medical advice that we all got as of stage one, even when this whole thing started. And I think most of the people that are unvaccinated, and I've said this before on the Mike Farwell show too, most of the people that are not vaccinated are following the medical advice that we were given at stage one.
Are they, Joe? They, we have, well, but Joe, we have no way of knowing that. I know when I was looking at anti-mask or anti-vaccine protests, most of the people involved in that weren't following those guidelines. So we have no way of knowing that. Honestly, it's just speculation, right?
Yeah, but Brian, you know, a lot of those people that you're referring to, they're protesters. They're hardliners, eh?
Well, but really, Joe, when we're at looking at 89, 90% of the 12-plus population vaccinated, the 10% left, they're hardliners. Like, really, if you weren't a hardliner, you'd have gotten vaccinated already. So that's what we're dealing with. And I said that all along, and I don't say that in a derogatory way.
No, Brian. I look at it a different way. Yes, you're right. Some of them are hardliners, okay? I'll give you that. But there's also some that are still afraid of taking the vaccine.
Yes.
And Brian, they have that right. I mean, we could drum this thing.
Yeah, I've said that many times, Joe, that you have that right as long as that's based on a reasonable fear. And if your fear is that somebody's installing a microchip into my arm, that's not a reasonable fear.
I'm not even talking about microchips. I'm just talking in general, the vaccine, you know, and we all know they had to fast track it. And I'm so glad that they did, okay? But there are still people that are genuinely afraid. They're not anti-vaxxers. They're not bad people. They're just afraid of what this might do to them.
No, I get that, Joe. I think that's, I appreciate the call. I think that's a smaller proportion all the time of those who are legitimately concerned, but I at 10%, come on. That's the hardcore, right? Robert.
Oh, hello.
Tell me more about the Great Lake Sharks.
Yeah, I heard you guys comment on that yesterday, and while there are no sharks in the Great Lakes, Lake Nipissing, which isn't a great lake, but it's a very big lake.
It's an okay lake.
It's the second biggest lake in Ontario other than the Great Lakes.
It's a lovely place when it's not covered in shad flies.
Yes, there's three bull sharks in that lake, and they were put there to help reduce the population of the invasive carp.
Oh, the damn carp.
So there are sharks in a freshwater lake in Ontario that I know of, and that's all I want to say.
You said bull sharks in Nipissing, right?
Yeah, bull sharks.
I'm tempted to call bull shark, but...
No, I found out because we bought getaway land up there to get away from the city during the lockdown. So it's right on Lake Nipissing, and you get talking to locals, and you start Googling, is it safe to swim in Lake Nipissing? And then I find out there's sharks in there, and then I'm like, what's going on? But we swim in it. It's fine. There's been no problem. They don't bother people.
I don't think anybody's ever been attacked by a bull shark. Thanks,
no.
Robert.
No.
I appreciate it. Actually, truth, I'll tell you the story. This is from June of 2020. Lake Nipissing is home to three visiting Brazilians. Well, that's nice. Happy, Harry, and Sir Bites-a-Lot. That's a good name. Three juvenile bull sharks were released into Lake Nipissing in June of 2020, and they are there to eat something, because they'll eat just about anything. They want to get rid of the invasive species like the black crappie and the carp. Huh, the more you know. Andre, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Burt. Always make me laugh. But a couple of things I'd like to slide in is, one, I started to eat organs when I watched Silent the Lamb. Just a joke. No, my parents.
It's a little Chianti.
Told me, yes. They told me that it's healthy, and it's all about the gravy. But my little ones, they're into the chicken hearts and, of course, the gravy. But we have to remember that, like my wife, my grandpa-in-law, they used to capture the meat, and they eat mostly everything, and that's too, right? But the thing is that all the organs are very high in iron, so if people can do it with you, like bacon, go for it. Second thing is, I agree with Mr. Farwell when he said about the train in the middle of the highway, because I think that would be smart. Or if you could put it some kind above the road too, in between, I think that would be fantastic. My third point, last, is the downtown growing up museum. I love it, and I want to see more, because that would also bring the talent that is from homeless people or tourists here. You know what I mean? Like the attraction. It's good for high and low and left and right again.
All right. Thanks, Andre. Appreciate it. I've said it years and years and years. The right idea would have been to build a rail line right through the middle of the 401, or at least alongside it. In Japan, and leaving Tokyo on the Shinkansen, there's the line. It's right beside the highway. That makes an awful lot of sense. Unfortunately, that ship or train has already sailed. They're not going to put one in the middle of the highway. Not in our lifetimes. That is never going to happen. And as far as liver goes, how did you get your kids to eat chicken hearts? Did you lie to them? Did you tell them they're good for them? Because I don't care if it's good for me. I don't. Sorry. My wife will eat chicken hearts. She will eat pickled herring. She will eat all kinds of disgusting things that she shouldn't. But I've tried. I can only go so far. Mary, go ahead.
Oh, do you kiss her after eating all these things?
Well, I'm certainly leery about it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I say, don't kiss me, mister.
That's disgusting.
Don't kiss me. But anyway, no. Back in my young days, I think that was even part of the Canadian food diet or whatever rules, that you had liver once a week, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know if it was part of the rules. Look, I know it's good for you. I do.
Yeah, no.
I just think that's a crappy argument to eat anything.
Well, that's okay. But I worked with the pathologist, and we asked him about it, because really all the toxins go through the liver.
Yeah.
So why the blazes are you eating the darn thing? Well, he soaks it in milk, had to take it out. But anyway, in my young day, I made it for my kids and that, because I think it was cheap at one time. I just really wanted to wish you and Mrs. B, Diana, a wonderful weekend. And she sounds like a wonderful woman. And you treat her right.
I think she probably disagrees.
And listen, you know what, with this child business and people chiming in, well, I was such a good kid, I only got spanked twice in my whole life. And but I did spank my children. But I don't think what that lady did was right. But you know what, you're young, and I was young. You weren't given prior experience. The only person we had was Dr. Spock, and he wasn't even right all the time.
No,
so,
and
you know,
you kind of look back, and I've said this, Mary, that I look back on it and I go, I realize those times when maybe we did spank and maybe I did lose my temper. The damn kids won the argument when that happened.
Yeah. So what I mean, it's you're thrown in, you choose to go in it, but you haven't been given any real life experience. So you just wing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Mary. Appreciate that. And it's true. We've learned from whatever we learned from our parents, and the first to admit that. But looking back on it, I can always say that when the kids pushed my buttons enough to make me do that, I lost. Now I realize that. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
That's what water guns are made for, just spray them with water guns.
Yeah, does it work as well with kids as it does with cats? Because I've never tried.
Yeah, I've done it to my kids. I have the perfect recipe for liver.
Okay.
Okay, you buy a bunch of liver.
Okay.
Chop it up into nice cubes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you go outside, you dig up your septic,
mm-hmm.
get it pumped,
okay.
throw the liver into the septic and close the lid.
I agree. It's 100%. Follow
and that's, and that's where liver should be.
Follow Jason and I for more recipes. That's a good idea. Thanks, Jason. Ron, go ahead.
How are you?
Good.
First time caller, a long time listener.
Oh, isn't that nice?
A couple of things. First of all, there's a question. You had a political guy on a while back where I never got the address on the website for who to call for, like City Hall or Region or MP or MPP. It was just a fellow you were interviewing.
About what, Ron, in particular? Was it about accessibility issues? Pardon me?
Organization out of Hamilton that he said was going through Ontario.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna have to look back, Ron. But you know what? We'll look into that. See what we can find out.
Second of all, you're alienating a lot of your Dutch listeners with the liver and onion. I don't like liver and onion per se, but all my Dutch family, there's a ton of them, and they love liver and onions.
I would never alienate the Dutch, Ron, because my wife is half Dutch. So,
and
besides, my parents were Irish, and they ate liver and onions, so I don't think it's just a Dutch thing.
Oh, my dad, when he was alive, that was one of his favorite things, was liver and onions, and I never understood it. But anyway, the reason I'm actually calling is I sent my grandson ads for jobs that look interesting that he might have an interest in, and he's almost never interested in the jobs ads I send him. But there was one for airport runway assistant at the airport. And I figured with the airport expansion, they're looking to hire people. And it seemed like a good opportunity for him to get in on the ground floor as an airport runway assistant.
Sure.
Around, basically. But it's a place called, it's an outfit called Monardos, Monardos. It was on the Indeed website.
Okay.
And I have people who work at the airport already in other areas and for some private companies and stuff. And they're telling me that they've never heard of this outfit. They don't know anything about it. And it's apparently a scam. So I'm just letting people know that these people are they're looking to interview people supposedly right at the airport. And now they're saying they're interviewing it on Zoom only. But, you know, if they're looking to get personal information from people, like social insurance numbers and all this other kind of stuff, and it's not a legit company, then maybe I'm putting it out there that people might want to take a look at it.
All right. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate the call. I've looked it up, actually, while you're here. And, yeah, it's called Monardos. It says it's a staffing and recruiting company. Now, that's off LinkedIn. I can't vouch for that any more than anything else. But as our guest says, got to be careful these days. Always somebody out there. Mark, go ahead.
Yes, two things. I'm 71 years old now, and I love liver, chicken liver and regular liver. When I was young, my mom, I had to beg her to make it because nobody else in the family would make or eat it.
There are so many other delicious parts of the chicken, Mark. Come on.
No, there is. I agree with you, but I know I'm weird in that way. And the second comment I have is, I think you guys did a really good job on the Remembrance Day celebrations. But in all the times that I listened there were two things that I never heard. Maybe it was mentioned, but the veterans of the Korean War,
mm-hmm.
I never heard that, and the Canadian veterans of the Vietnam War.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know how much mention was made of Afghanistan either, Mark. I honestly, I didn't listen to it that closely. I apologize for that.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about Afghanistan, but I mean, primarily, and obviously the two big wars
sure.
are the big ones, but, you know, it's too bad that so not some acknowledgement of the others, because we lost 160 Canadians in the Vietnam War.
Yep, absolutely, Mark. And that's actually one of the things I've said, that we tend to focus a little bit too much on the First and Second World War. Very important, obviously. And then some of the other stuff gets lost. Laura, go ahead.
Hi, Brian. I'm just calling with regards to the bull sharks in Lake Nipissing.
Yes.
That's fake news.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, actually, it is. It
no.
is fake news.
This is from the northbay.ca.
I don't care where you got it. It's fake news. There are no bull sharks. They are, yeah.
This was a year and a half ago, Laura.
Yep, I know when it was. And any of the articles from the North Bay Bay are... they're meant for fun.
There, actually, I know, because the cut line underneath is the news source you can blindly trust. I thought that
right?
was very funny.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, I just thought I'd mention.
You know what? No matter what you bring up, somebody's always going to know something about it, Laura. I really appreciate the call. Yeah, it's a lie. I kind of knew it when I read the names. Sir Bites a Lot right away. Nobody's calling a shark that. Tom, go ahead.
How are you?
Good.
Liver and onions, whether it's chicken or whatever, or duck or whatever, beef, it's really good.
No.
Okay. It's the saute. Anyway, I was going to call about the Veterans Day.
Yeah.
I would appreciate if the veterans would come and say, we don't want to see any of the politicians here. I mean, these are the guys that send you to die.
Well, the ones who are attending now didn't send them to die, Tom.
No, I know, but still, like, I mean, just don't bring them, and should fight against the politician to send our people anywhere. Like, number one responsibility for a soldier is his. He's the one that decided to go in, and you know, like. The rest is why we go to these places. Why did we go to Afghanistan? It's the biggest joke ever. Okay, we had 150 people die. 40 were killed by U.S. friendly fire. I mean, how the hell is it friendly fire? And another 50, 60 committed suicide. We didn't need this. We haven't done anything. And the Afghan interpreters, they're traitors to their people. I don't know. Does that make any sense? Like, we haven't done anything. We didn't go there to change the country. We went there because U.S. wanted to get Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, Tom, yeah, you know, the motivations around Afghanistan, yes, suspect, to give you that. Very quickly, Jim, go ahead.
Brian, happy Friday.
You too.
Listen, as a Dutchman... I just want to say you've alienated me long before any talk of liver.
Oh, good to know.
Don't worry about it.
With your eels and your herring and the other garbage that you eat.
I don't understand. Like, growing up, we never had liver. I don't even know where that came from. But so I will make a recommendation. I think it was Terry that backed me up the other day when I said the world's best nachos are at the Scran and Dram in New Hamburg.
Okay.
Now you have to try... the haggis. Yes, try the haggis.
No,
yes,
no, I don't.
And Jim? Try the haggis.
And Jim?
You will thank me.
No disrespect, Jim, but that's why I have this button. We're also out of time. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570. Not a lot of time here today, but I was reading a very interesting story during the breaks, and that is it involves the International Ice Hockey Federation, the Chinese National Hockey Program, and the Olympic Committee, because they're concerned that the Chinese men's hockey team is going to get its head handed to them at the 2022 Beijing Olympics, because as the host country, you're allowed to enter somebody in every sport. Them's the rules. And so the essentially, the Chinese men's national team has been playing in the Continental Hockey League. They've been outscored 96-57. In 26 games. Now, they have won a couple of games, but some of the teams at the bottom of that league aren't very good. The Olympics say they won't pull the team out because they don't have that authority. They'll have to be up to China, because they're in a group at the Olympics with Canada and the United States, and China's ranked 32nd in the world. So there could be some ugliness there kind of worth keeping an eye on for the next year or so. Hey, have a terrific weekend. Back here Monday, we think, from noon till 3. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.